Could you turn back to James chapter 5, and after the service, if Samin could set up tables for the bridal shower Saturday. I want to read this verse of scripture again. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. If these two verses simply refer to physical healing, the healing of a physical sickness, it would always work when the man is prayed for with the prayer of faith. It would always work. And if it didn't work, that means the ones who did the praying didn't have enough faith. Their faith came up short somehow, and that is why it didn't work. You just don't have enough faith. Now, the example I thought of, and I'm glad he's not here tonight, is Tom Wooten. He carries around that oxygen with him. Has a difficult time breathing. Carries that oxygen with him. Now, if I pray for him to be healed of this, I can't remember what it's called, the disease he has. If I pray for him to be healed with the prayer of faith, and he is not healed, well, there was something defective about my prayer, wasn't there? If that is exactly what this means, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And somebody may be thinking, well, sometimes it's not the Lord's will for someone to be healed. You know, they're sick and you pray for them that they'll be healed and it doesn't happen. Perhaps it was not the Lord's will for that person to be healed. Now, that may be true, but it still says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And let's say I prayed for Tom and he could put that oxygen thing down. You know, in miraculous healing, it's not some kind of gradual, we get a little bit better and a little bit better. No, I mean, he would just totally be healed. Let's say that did happen. He's still going to die of something. He's still going to get some kind of disease, some kind of sickness that's going to kill him. Now, sickness. Is any sick among you? As a matter of fact, that's what I entitled this message. Is any sick among you? I can say from experience that the most blessed times of my life has been in sickness. I've never experienced such joy, such favor from the Lord, such blessedness as when I was physically the worst. Now, I can say that from experience. Now, why did James say the prayer of faith shall save the sick? Why didn't he say the prayer of faith shall heal the sick? Why did he use this word? It's the same word that is used in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you are saved. He didn't say the prayer of faith shall heal the sick here. He said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. In a child of God, and you listen to this statement real carefully, in all children of God, sin is a sickness. Have you ever felt that? Like you have the disease of sin, the horrible sickness of sin. That's the way it feels to you. Oh, I'm sick. I'm sick. I'm sick of myself. I'm sick of my sin. My sin makes me sick. Every believer has made statements and have thought that about themselves. Is any sick among you? Right here. Yep, I'm one of them. Is any sick among you? Now, when you see sickness in your children, how does it make you feel? Are you mad at them? What'd you get sick for? What's your problem? No, you feel compassion. You feel mercy toward them. And you don't look at that sickness as a part of your child. You look at that sickness as invading your child, don't you? You don't associate that sickness with the person of your child. That's a foreign element that's come in and attacked your child. And you hate that sickness. But you know the Lord, when He sees His children and the sin in His children, He says, my child is sick. And He has compassion toward His sick children. And He doesn't look at that sin really as part of His child. That's a foreign invasion upon my child. Sin is a disease in a believer. Turn with me for a moment to Matthew chapter 8. Now, are you saying that this doesn't have anything to do with when you're sick, to ask the Lord to heal you or call upon people to pray for you? No, do that. Do that. If you're going to be healed, the Lord heals you. He uses means. He always uses means. But if you are sick, Lord, heal me. Heal me. Sick of mind, sick of body, sick of soul, whatever kind of sickness it is. Lord, heal me. We're called upon to ask the Lord. When one of you are sick, you are, Lord, heal them. Heal them. This is not saying we don't pray about sicknesses, but look here in Matthew chapter 8. I think this is so interesting. Beginning in verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, He saw His mother's wife laid and sick of a fever. And He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, if you look at Isaiah 53, that's not the way Isaiah said it. As a matter of fact, turn with me there. Hold your finger there. Isaiah 53. Verses 4 and 5. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. Now, does that sound like sicknesses when He's saying that? No, He says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. But when Matthew quotes this, he quotes it as diseases and sicknesses. Now, what that lets me know is sin to the believer is a sickness, and it is a disease. Now, some have maintained that physical healing is included in the atonement, and it is, but not in this life. One of these days, I'm going to have a glorified body that is not sick, and even better, it's sinless. The first line of that song was, waiting for my body that will never sin. Now that is what every believer... Healing is included in the atonement, but as far as physical healing, not yet. And really, when Isaiah is speaking of this, it doesn't really have anything to do with physical healing. He's talking about, turn with me, 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter quotes Isaiah 53. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you shall be healed. Not what it says, is it? By whose stripes you were healed. When Christ said, "It is finished," every believer was healed of this disease of sin. Now, this scripture in James chapter 5 has been so abused, and it's one of those scriptures that the Lord gives you enough rope to hang yourself on if that's what you want. Somebody says, "Would the Lord do something like that?" Sure he would. Sure he would. It says, "God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." 2 Thessalonians 2:10, sure he would. And this is a passage of scripture that has been used and abused in a very strong way like that. Now, is there any sick among you? Back to our text in James chapter 5. Is there any sick among you? Sick of body. Diseased. Sick of mind. Sick of soul. Yes, it could be cancer. It could be heart disease. It could be diabetes. But Paul also used the word like this: when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It's used to describe those who are weak in faith. That's the same word, sick in faith. He that's weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. It's used to describe the impotent man in John chapter 5, utterly impotent, without power. Paul used the word like this: when I am weak, then am I strong. And this was after he had that thorn in the flesh, and he said, "Oh, remove this from me." He asked the Lord 3 times to do it. He said, "It's a messenger of Satan buffeting me," and he asked the Lord to remove it. And the Lord didn't say no, but he did say this: "My grace is sufficient for thee." You're going to have to be satisfied to be saved by grace. Is that okay? Oh, that's blessed. My grace is sufficient for thee. And that's why Paul said, "I'm glad when I'm weak, because when I'm weak, then am I strong." Is any sick? Physically sick? Sin sick? Sickened by this horrible disease, sin? And like I said, that's what it is in a believer. It's a disease. It's a disease I inherited. It's a disease I was born with. It's a disease that's all my fault, brought on by me. Well, how could you be born with it, and how can it be inherited, and you say it's your fault? Well, it is. It is. That's all I know how to say. Both things are true. I was born with it. I inherited it from my parents, from my first parent, Adam. And it is all my fault. I can't say, "Well, at least it's not my fault. I don't have any responsibility in this." No. You know, disease is brought on by sin. Well, my sin is brought on by sin. My disease of sin is brought on by sin. Now, what does he say for this sick person to do? Is any sick among you? I am. I don't know how many times I've thought that about myself. I'm sick. I'm sick. Is any sick among you? What's he called on to do? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let him call on the elders of the church. Now, does that mean different pastors of different churches, or does that mean some kind of plurality of elders? I don't know. I really don't know. I know there's only one pastor. There's not five pastors, there's not six pastors, there's one pastor. And the Bible doesn't say whether a local church has to have a plurality of elders, a number of elders here or not. The Bible doesn't really give any instructions on that. But he says, call for these elders. It could mean more mature believers. Now, look in verse 16. Confess your faults, James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I want that man praying for me, don't you? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a man I want praying for me. A man who's righteous before God, having the righteousness of Christ, and that prayer inwrought in his heart by God, and it availing much. That's who I want praying for me. Let him call for the elders of the church. Pray for me. Pray for me. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, many look at this verse and they go on down into verse 16 and say, here's the scenario. You're sick because of some sin in your life. And that's the reason behind sickness. And ultimately it is the reason behind sickness. If you didn't have sin, you'd never get sick, would you? But they're saying, kind of like Job's friends were. Remember Job's friends? They were always saying, the reason all this stuff is happening to you is because some kind of sin is in your life. And until you get straightened out, this stuff is going to continue. And what we're called about this person who has become sick because of their sin, what they need to do is get with the elders of the church, confess the sin, ask them to forgive it, and ask so they can be restored back into fellowship and everything will be okay. I wonder when I was in the hospital about a month ago, wonder how many people were thinking, wonder what he did. What'd he do to get in a condition like that? He must have committed some kind of horrible sin and he's being punished for it or he's being chastened for it. Well, let me say this. If I was being punished or chastened for it, I deserved it. I deserved it. I wouldn't say that for a second, but I just don't believe that that's what this passage of Scripture is teaching. If you're sick, the Lord gave you that sickness, and He gave it for your good and His glory. And it's all a part of those things that work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, when He says, let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, if you're sick, let's say you get really sick. Should you call on me and say, come pray for me and anoint me with oil in the name of the Lord? What does that really mean? Now, turn to Mark chapter 6. The apostles did this. Mark chapter 6, verse 13. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. The apostles did this, didn't they? They anointed with oil many that were sick and they healed them. Now here's my question. Before I go on to try to give an explanation of this. The apostles had supernatural ability to heal given to them by Christ, didn't they? They could lay their hands upon somebody and that person they laid their hands on was healed. I mean, if someone was born crippled or born blind and they would lay hands on them and do something for them, they would be healed immediately. They wouldn't get up and, you know, just... No, they get up and leap and walk. It was just a miraculous healing and they had the ability to do that. Now, turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now Philip had gone to Samaria and preached the gospel, and a great revival took place. Many were made to believe. And Philip and John come, and John and Peter come. Philip was the one doing the preaching. He was not an apostle. John and Peter come, and they start laying their hands on people, and all of a sudden they started having these supernatural gifts. Now look in verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of what? The apostles' hands. Now God the Holy Spirit points that out. You know, Philip couldn't lay his hands on someone and cause them to have these supernatural gifts of healing. He couldn't do it. He wasn't an apostle. Only the apostles could do this. No one else. And so when the apostles died, that gift was over. If someone claims to have the gift of healing, they are phonies and frauds. And the entire charismatic movement is satanic. It's of the devil. There's no truth to it. These men who claim to be apostles are liars, phonies, and frauds. And if somebody did have the gift of healing, why don't you go into a hospital and really heal somebody? I mean, if you have the gift of healings, you ought to go into any of the hospitals in town and all the sick people come and heal them. They can't do that because they're frauds. It's all phony. So this man praying over them would not have the ability to heal. So what is this anointing of oil all about? Well, throughout the scriptures, oil is used medicinally. Remember the Good Samaritan? The guy laying in the ditch? What's he do? He pours in oil and wine. What this is symbolic of is the use of means. Are you sick? Go to the doctor. That's the use of means. If you're healed, God healed you, but He uses means. Are you sick? Take your medicine. I want to believe God to heal me without the medicine. Well, that's foolishness. Take your medicine. Do you need surgery? You need to have something cut out? Have it cut out. God is a God of means. Use the means. Somebody says, I want to believe God for a garden. And I'm not going to plow the land. I'm not going to plant any seeds. I'm not going to water it. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to believe God for a garden. Why, that's utter foolishness. Have you ever heard anybody say anything that foolish? No, you don't hear people. But yet people say it religiously. I'm going to believe God to heal me without the means. Wouldn't that glorify God more if no means were used and He just miraculously healed me? I'm just going to believe God to heal me. Use the means. God is a God of means. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, couldn't God save without preaching? Of course He could. Is anything too hard to the Lord? Of course He could. The question is not can He, but does He? No. No. He does what He says He's going to do in His Word. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So the anointing of oil represents the use of means. Use the medicine. It's used that way throughout the scripture. But notice it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And I want you to pray for me. You know, when I was in the hospital, I hope you were praying for me. Praying for I want to pray for you when you're sick. I want you to pray for me because of my sin sickness. And I want to pray for you because of your sin sickness. And every believer, I think this is so remarkable. Sin in a believer is a sickness. It's a sickness. And the Lord has compassion on His children. Just like you'd have compassion on your sick children. It's a sickness. It's foreign to them. It's not part of them. I'm the new man in Christ Jesus that the Lord loves. That old man, that's a sickness. That's a sickness that we hate. But notice he says, let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. When we ask the Lord to do something for us, we ask it in Christ's name, don't we? Not dare. We don't dare come in our own name. We don't dare come in our own righteousness or in our own merits. Whatever we ask the Lord to do, we come in His name. It works like this. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for what? For Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We come in His name. Now look in verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, once again, this is one of those things that have been so abused. You really got to believe. If you're going to pray to be healed, or if you're going to pray for someone to be healed, you've got to really believe it's going to happen. And it won't do you any good. Like I know one man that he prayed for his eyes to be healed. He took his glasses off. He said, it won't do me any good to believe, to not trust God to do this. He took his glasses off, got in his car, and had a wreck. Had a wreck. Couldn't see. Had a wreck. Now, he was wanting to believe God. And I admire that. I admire that. And he said, well, I want to believe God. But the thing is, don't remember in the previous chapter, in chapter 4, when we're taught, don't say, I'm going to go somewhere and be there a year and do this and that. No, if the Lord will, we'll do this. And with regard to praying for whatever, Lord, if it be your will, heal me. If it be your will, heal so and so. Whatever the Lord's will is, we really believe in the supremacy of His will. What is the prayer of faith? I got it. If you will, you can make me clean. And that's the prayer of faith. That leper, full of leprosy, full of the leprosy of sin, he came into the Lord's presence and he worshiped. Oh, the Lord's to be worshiped. I'm so sure the Lord is to be worshiped. Whatever he does with me, he's worthy of worship. Lord, he worshiped him. Lord, if you will, you can. You have the ability to make me clean. That's the prayer of faith. Faith is, but the prayer of faith is believing the gospel. Thy faith hath saved thee. Now faith always works. You hear that? Faith always works. And there's a reason why faith always works, because of the object of faith. Christ Jesus the Lord. You see, it's not your faith, the strength of your faith, or the weakness of your faith that saves you. It's Christ that saves you, and you believe that. Your healing is not dependent upon the greatness of your faith or the weakness of your faith. Your healing is dependent upon His will and His ability to heal you. Now that's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now you trust Christ to save you, and you're saved. Is that clear? I don't care how sick you are. I don't care how sin sick you are. If you can enter into this, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You believe the gospel, you've been healed. You've been saved. And look what it says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now, I'll use myself again. A month ago, I was on my back. I was on my back in bed. I was very sick. One night, I even thought I was going to die. I was very sick. And what the Lord did? He raised me up. Through the use of means, through the antibiotics I was taking, the doctors I was seeing, and the others, you know, all through the use of means, but the Lord raised me up. But I want you to know this. I was raised when Christ was raised. Turn with me to Ephesians 2 for a moment. The Lord shall raise him up. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together with Christ, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I love that. You know when I was raised? When Christ was raised. I was in him. When he was raised, I was raised. I was raised up when I was born again. I was dead in sins. Totally dead. Had no interest in God, no interest in the gospel, no understanding. And I was raised from the dead. And one of these days, I'm really going to be raised up. And when I'm raised then, you know what? I'll be plumb healed. I'll be completely healed of all sickness, of all sin. The Lord shall raise him up. I'll have a glorified body, perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, complete satisfaction in beholding his face and awaking in his likeness. Don't you love that scripture in Psalm 7:15? I'll behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. And it says in verse 15, if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Like I said, everybody that I read implied that this sickness has been brought on by some kind of sins you've committed. And that's the reason you're sick. And those will be forgiven you if you go through the process of going to the elders and confessing your faults and all that kind of stuff. And if he hath committed sins. Now let me ask you a question about that word if. If he hath committed sins? If? What if I said regarding you, now if you've committed sins, what would your conscience say? You'd say, I have committed sins. There's no question about that. That's a, do you know this word if, four times, it's only found 13 times in the New Testament, this particular word that is translated if. Four times it's translated though. Though he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Though he hath committed sins. And the word committed, I think this is very interesting. The verb committed is a participle. Now, the language is very exact and it's very important. I don't want to get technical, but the word is a participle. What is a participle? A participle takes both the nature of an adjective and a verb. Here's what he is. This is the description of him. This is the adjective. He's committed sins. And this is the verb. This is what he does. He's committed sins. Now that's the way the language works. Not if he hath committed sins, but though he has committed sins. What does the Bible say about those sins? They shall be forgiven. They shall be forgiven. Blotted out. Canceled. They are no more. They shall be forgiven. Now the only way a believer is to look at his sins is as forgiven sins. All of them. Forgiven sins. Though he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Now this is a special promise. Yeah, I'm not going to take away from praying for the sick. I pray for the sick every day. I pray for, you're sick, I'm praying for you, the Lord heal you. I want the Lord to heal you. I'm not taking away from the emphasis of praying for the sick, but that's really not the primary purpose of this passage of Scripture. To a believer, sin is a sickness. We feel it to be so, a miserable sickness. And we're asking the Lord to heal us heal our loved ones of this sickness. And I sure feel comfortable looking at this passage this way. And if you look at it merely as physical healing, you got some problems. Because evidently you don't have faith, or your faith's not good enough, because you pray for people and they end up dying. So I'm sure that this is the meaning of this passage of Scripture. Let's pray together. Lord, we feel the sickness of sin. Lord, we feel physical sickness, and we know that you're in control of that. But Lord, we feel the sickness of sin. And we pray for healing and salvation. And how we thank you that by his stripes we were healed. Now, Lord, bless this message for our good and your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Dwayne, we've got...